This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Iowa Congressman Steve King, who represents the Hawkeye State's 5th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts on the flurry of events that led to a late Saturday night vote in favor of the Democratic healthcare legislation on the House floor. And we also want to find out where he thinks this bill is headed in the Senate. Is it, in fact, dead on arrival, as some Senate Republicans have suggested? And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Greg. I appreciate it.
Well, there was all of course, a massive buildup last week to this vote. For a while there, we weren't sure exactly what day it would be taking place. Ultimately, it happened late Saturday night. At what point was it clear to you that it was actually going to pass?
I suppose about the time the 219th vote went up on the board. That's about when. And that, you know, and I was still, you know, I was still looking at that thing and praying for the kind of miracle that would flip a couple of votes around the other way. And I didn't accept the idea that it had until the gavel fell and the speaker announced that the bill had passed.
Do you believe that the STUPAC amendment, putting the pro-life language in there, was the key to making it happen? Was the bill basically dead without that?
Well, you know, first I don't want to be second guessing or disparaging the people that poured their hearts and souls and efforts into the STUPAC pro-life amendment. I just think it was a circumstance that that came about that one could look at and see this right, you know, near the end of the vote. So we didn't know until Saturday sometime whether the STUPAC amendment would be allowed to be offered by Speaker Pelosi. Even though we go through a lot of motions up in the Rules Committee, it's simply a charade. It's the Speaker that makes the call. And so we didn't know. And then as it became clear that became announced that the STUPAC amendment would be offered on the floor, then it's time to start thinking through the strategy. And the strategy of that began to tell me as I began to look at whip checks and counts, and it's a very inexact science, but it began to tell me that if it weren't for the STUPAC amendment, I believe the bill would have failed. And so that's not a criticism or an indictment of the people that work so hard for innocent unborn human lives. I'm one of those people. But what it does say is in the middle of that strategy, we found ourselves in a situation where Nancy Pelosi made a move that we couldn't counter. And I understand when people are committed, then it's awfully hard to pull back. Then also, when the motion to recommit did not have the language in it that would have prohibited this funding that under the socialized medicine bill from going to illegals, that was something that could have also, I think, made a difference. So all in all, if Republicans hadn't gotten behind and supported the STUPAC amendment, if we would put all of our eggs into the basket of killing the bill, we would have believed from the beginning that we were going to kill the bill and spend everything trying to kill it, then I believe that if that we would have been successful, and I think we would have ended up with something like 235 votes no on the final passage of the bill rather than the 220 yes that we had.
Congressman, what do you see as happening in the Senate? Some say that it's got to be watered down. Others on the liberal side say it's got to be beefed up with a full public option and taking out the pro-life language. What do you expect to come back from the Senate into a conference, if anything?
They're going to have to split this in half somehow, too. And there's strong support there. There's strong opposition there for the public option or the government option. And yet there's also the people that say they must have it in the same kind of dynamics as we have in the House and probably in different numbers. So I don't know what they will do to try to gather the votes, but I have been operating under the presumption that a government or a public option would not come out of the Senate. And it seems as though it's more likely that the Senate is not as strong on the Hyde Amendment language, although it's hard for them to reverse the House position. So I think there'll be efforts in there to strip out the STUPAC amendment component of the Senate bill, and there'll be efforts in there to strip out the government option. If the Senate sends something out that has that done to it and it goes to conference, then you will see, and by the way, this conference committee will be appointed by Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid on the Democrat side, and they will have significant numbers advantage over Republicans, and that's where the pressure will come to bear in a significant way to try to keep in the pro-life language, and also there will be people that are trying to strip it out, of course, and the same goes for the government option. Those things seem to hinge on that. The Senate will pay for it, would want to pay for it in different ways. But Senator Lindsey Graham said it is dead on arrival. I hope he's right. I don't know that. But what we've done, the House, is we have really worked hard to kill that bill. We came very close in doing it. It is clearly a wounded duck that's flying in a wobbly pattern over across Lindsey Graham's decoys in the Senate. And we're going to have to count on the senators to take that wounded duck out of the sky.
Congressman, for our listeners that don't know, not only was there a huge fight for you to try and kill the bill, as you put it, but also the timing of this all happened on the same day that your son was getting married and you had to make a very difficult choice. But explain why you made the choice to stay in Washington.
Well, it's really when you look at the sense of duty, the decision wasn't as hard as it was just to not be home for the wedding. The decision was relatively simple, and it's this: that when I look soldiers in the eye, and airmen and Marines, and I ask them to sacrifice and take time off a year away from their family per deployment, and if they're willing to do that for our country and for our flag, it's pretty hard for me to say, well, I'm going to miss a vote on the most important piece of legislation than in the time that I've been in the legislature, at least. And so there's just no way that I could justify not being there for that fight all week long and giving it everything that I had and being there to put those votes up and engage in the debate. I could have not asked others to sacrifice, and my family knew that. And so when I told them a week ago that it looked like it could come down to a direct conflict between the wedding and the vote, there wasn't a single person in my family that tried to talk me out of it. They all understood. They were all supportive. And by the way, you can never make up for missing something like that, but I got home in time to catch the bride and groom on their way to the airport, and we went out and had dinner together, and I had a chance to listen to them reminisce about the wedding and live vicariously through their memories. So I'm thankful I had the chance to do that, and we'll do the best we can to make up with it and for it as the years unfold ahead.
Congressman, real quickly before we let you go, what do you expect in terms of a final bill this year? Do you think you'll be voting on a final piece of health care legislation before the end of the year?
I don't think so. I don't think that they can push this through the Senate and what's left of this year with Thanksgiving and Christmas and the resistances there and all the different rules they have that allow senators to actually offer amendments and force votes on them. And so I think it goes past the first of the year, and in fact, I think it goes past January. If I could predict a time that there would be something that comes back to me, February or March, it'd be what I would put up on the calendar. Never is too soon for me.
Congressman, well, thanks very much for taking us inside the battle on Saturday and the battle still to come. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it, too.
Absolutely. Iowa Congressman Steve King represents the Hawkeye State's 5th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.